I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Now, Rob, I say as always, but then last week, we didn't manage to do a show after the first week of the Premier League. Not to get into things too deeply, I had a family thing that I had to take care of that week. You weren't feeling well. So we are sorry that we didn't push something out, especially on such a big week when everything was finally back. So we're sorry about that, but we're back now. Better late than never, I think, is the thing they say. And now I've said a lot of words, and so now you say words.
Well, it was actually good to be missed. I had like four people say, where the hell's the podcast? And I'm like, I didn't think anybody even listened to it anymore. I'm kidding. Yeah, we're back. I had a little bout of strep throat last week. Had no voice. Felt like absolute poo. Unfortunately, Kevin had some family things going down, and we couldn't link up, man. That's what LinkedIn is for, but we couldn't link up.
We aren't sponsored by ZipRecruiter. Otherwise, we'd make a reference to it right now.
Yeah, I'm sponsored by DayQuil and NyQuil, just to knock me the hell out.
I will say, I didn't actually check to see who the advertiser is this month. If it is ZipRecruiter, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, if you listen to this and you hear ZipRecruiter, you're laughing currently at the joke.
Yeah, you'd be like, why did they say they're supposed to put ZipRecruiter when they totally are?
Yeah, man, they're liars. They're a bunch of jerks. They're sandbagging is what they are. That's ridiculous. They know. They know, man.
Yeah, we know everything, except
we don't.
Sometimes we don't. All right, well, Rob, we'll just kind of hit some of the key points from this weekend's FPL action. We'll start with the two red cards, Jamie Vardy and Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Obviously, the latter far more owned due to his low price. If you own either of these guys, what are you doing?
I'll start with Vardy because I don't think he's owned enough for people to be like, eh. It's only 5.7% of leagues right now. Yeah, I mean, Vardy's going to miss two games because he got a straight red, right? And Bissaka's only going to miss one because he got a yellow and a red, whatever. Anyway, Vardy's due back September 15th. Yeah, I mean, Vardy's probably a drop. You can go to anybody in the 9.0 and under striker range, and there's tons of options there to go to. Morata is a great segue to go to, but we'll get into Morata in a little bit. Yeah, so if you're a Vardy owner, I would probably drop. But if you currently don't want to waste a transfer, you have other urgent needs, you could bury him on the bench, put your third sub, only if you don't own the other guy with a red card, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Bissaka is a definite hold because you're not going to gain anything by him going down to 3.3 or lose anything by him going to 3.9. His value to your team is still going to be 4.0. Anybody who's not a Wan-Bissaka owner, this is probably a good time to buy him next week because if he goes down in price, you're going to get a starting defender at 3.9. So from that standpoint, Bissaka is probably, if you own him, bury him as your third sub. If you don't currently own him, it's probably a good time to buy at a 3.9 discount in 2 weeks when he comes back. I guess we'll call it a foul. I keep hearing the hems and haws that he did touch him, he didn't touch him, blah, 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 whatever. It doesn't matter. He's not going to play this week, so it doesn't matter. Just get him out of your starting lineup and just bury him on your bench. That's the best advice I can say.
Yeah, and the most unfortunate thing about that Aaron Wan-Bissaka quote-unquote tackle is that not only did a lot of people lose Wan-Bissaka as their cheap 4.0 useful midfield or defender, but it also prevented a Mohamed Salah goal. So it was kind of double trouble there for a lot of owners. Other things of note that happened, Harry Kane actually scored in August. Look at that.
Yay! It didn't really happen, though. I think it's an illusion. It was like a Penn and Teller thing. It, like, they came out like a magic curtain and went, ta-da! No,
during the celebration, they brought down the Fooler sign?
Yeah. Hey, it's good for him. Maybe he's off the schneid now. And, you know, unfortunately, Spurs, you know, they do have a tougher matchup this week traveling to United. You know, and it's still in August. So, I mean, you still get – it's kind of like a double bug bite there. And whenever time you get a double bug bite – and you're getting, you know, double negatives to push it to the, you know, to a positive. It doesn't work that way. I'm still waiting on Harry Kane, even just because of his price. And listen, history has a way of repeating itself. Yes, he did get off the schneid. But are you really going to bring him in just if you didn't own him and say, you know what, he's going to score against United and Mourinho because they gave up 3 to Brighton? It doesn't work that way. United's going to come out of this match pissed off because they just got shellacked by Brighton and gave up 3 goals.
Yeah.
You know, and Mourinho's, you know, unfortunately, playing for his job. I guess they're playing for his job.
Yeah. And year 3 with Mourinho, he's basically always playing for his job and not really doing it well.
Yeah, the funny thing, a lot of my good mates are United fans, and they're from the we'll call it the old country. Yeah, we'll call it the old country because we're in the new country because we beat them in 1776. But yeah, so we're in they're big United fans, and they don't see it going much further than it is. You know, basically he's already lost the players around him. They don't, you know, they're not playing up to him or playing any kind of strategy. United basically look like they're playing zombie ball. They don't have any purpose. I'd honestly be surprised and be so bold to say is I don't think Mourinho makes it to Boxing Day.
Yeah, on the EPL we were saying, do we think he makes it to Christmas? And everybody was saying no as well. So seems like we've all kind of reached a consensus there in our brains. And it's obvious from seeing how
fine,
they play.
I'll be bolder. He won't make it to Thanksgiving.
We'll
Americanize the hell out of him.
Yeah, they don't really celebrate that, but we'll let him know. But it's the fourth Thursday of November. Write it down. And usually there's Europa League football on and American football on at the same time. It makes for some very interesting conversations. So that was obviously interesting. You mentioned that it's a tougher matchup this weekend against Manchester United. They did just concede to Brighton. Just gut instinct, do you think United bounce back this week or is just more of the same?
I don't know how much can they bounce back against a top six team like Spurs. I mean, Spurs are not they haven't shown that they're the eliteness yet, but they've only given up 1 goal in 2 games, each of the 2 games. Yeah. So, I mean, they're not far off from where they were. The only problem with Spurs is that, you know, they're conceding and they're not, you know, they've scored 2 and they scored 3. But look at the opponent that they've scored 2 and they've scored 3 against, but yeah, they've given up a goal against Newcastle and Fulham. Are you confident enough that Spurs, given a better opponent, is going to duplicate what they've been doing against Newcastle and Fulham is the best question I guess I can, you know, rephrase back to you.
Yeah.
Because you are the Spurs guy. I think they probably concede. I wouldn't be all buying in on United or Spurs players this week. You know, and it's funny because you wanted to talk about Ben Davis and Christian Eriksen and people owning them. You know, both of them had the same amount of return in 2 games. Both have played full minutes, and they both are sitting on 4 points. If you owned either of those guys right now, are you transferring them out and seeing what else is out there?
Yeah, it's not a fun time for Eriksen Davis owners, especially if you have friends that were Dele and Trippier and are just basking in their own glory right now. I'm willing to stick with Eriksen through this week. Just because he's still, you know, third in chances created, which he always would be. There are very concerning things about Eriksen, though, like the fact that Trippier took the free kick and was taking corners from the right while Eriksen was taking them from the left. A lot of Eriksen's value came from his very high floor based on the fact that he took both of those, both free kicks and corners. He hadn't been doing them particularly well, but there's still the upside that he could. And so the fact that Trippier is eating into that is concerning. His price tag makes him a little concerning because I think Dele's also on 9.5 if memory serves.
9.1. He just went up in price.
Oh, he was at 9.0. Ooh. Yeah. I mean, Dele definitely seems the better choice right now. I'm willing to stick with Eriksen at the moment as he was part of my original draft where I was trying to get the 3 best midfielders in. So for a week, I had Salah, Eriksen, and De Bruyne. Then obviously De Bruyne got hurt. Eriksen kind of struggling now. And he is playing deeper, for whatever it's worth, for people that are unaware of that. Because we played a 3-4-3 at the weekend, and then it was, well, ish. So let's not get into it. But basically, Eriksen was playing, quote-unquote, next to Eric Dier, further back. And then Dele Alli was getting forward, as was Lucas Moura and Harry Kane, obviously. Lucas, obviously, has looked very good as well. But if you're an Eriksen owner or a Davis owner, well, Eriksen's different. Eriksen, I am concerned about high price tag. I'm giving him this week, and it's not an easy one in theory against United. And then we'll reassess. Ben Davis is still interesting because Ben Davis is far further ahead of Danny Rose in the left back pecking order than Kieran Trippier is ahead of Serge Aurier. Mm-hmm. So while, yes, if Trippier is on set pieces, much better owned than Ben Davis. But I think Ben Davis is going to start like 5 to 10 more matches this season in the Premier League.
I'm not confident that, you know, Trippier is probably going to get the United start. And then I probably can say that when they come out of international break, he doesn't start. I think it depends on who plays more during the international break. If Trippier or Aurier, that's pretty funny, they rhyme. whoever, you know, is fresher coming out of the break.
Yeah, and then we're going to have to start dealing with Champions League rotation, and we know Poch loves that.
Yep, you know, Champions League starts 2 weeks after that, or 10 days after that, whatever, after the fourth game week. So I mean, yeah, I mean, it's listen. If you're a Trippier owner and you own him from the start, you know you're basking in the 11 points that you've garnered right now. Yeah, but if you look at the defensive of Tottenham right now, everybody's basically flip flopping on scoring. Vertonghen was game week one, Trippier was game week two. You know, it could be anybody's ball game in game week three. And I agree with you that. If you own Davis, I think that you're sitting on him until you're ready to make a wild card move. You know, the 6.0 investment isn't that bad, but look at what Spurs defenders are giving you minus the clean sheets. They're not giving you anything. You know, you can't really rely on defensive goals and defensive assists every week because you're not going to get it. You know, the Spurs' bread and butter here is the clean sheet, and that's why you're owning Ben Davis. That's why you're owning Jan Vertonghen. Right. You're owning Trippier because you think he's going to get involved more for the same price at 6.0. But there's a rotation risk, which is why I probably believing exactly what you're saying, Kev, by saying that I think that Davis, when all said and done, is going to get three out of every four starts, he's going to get all four starts, whereas Trippier may get three out of the four.
Yeah. And over the season, that obviously accumulates. I mean, you could potentially find a rotation that you like to make up for that. But all in all, I think they will probably end up on similar total points because Davis will play more, a little less effectively. Trippier will play less and pretty effectively. Yeah. The one thing I will say on Davis is if you don't already have Mendy and you have the money to spare, that seems a very easy and smart move. If you already have Mendy and Davis and they're your two big hitters, like we're saying, just keep rolling with them. But if you have the money and can make that switch, I mean, what Mendy's doing is just ridiculous, both in real life and in fantasy thus far.
Yeah, it's crazy for Mendy. Mendy is definitely if Marcus Alonso isn't 1A for ownability for defenders, then Mendy's definitely 1A.
Yeah, totally agree. And we didn't do a show week one, so we didn't get to do a huge, oh my gosh, defenders are really good this year. But that's okay. We did it in our show before the season started.
Because we told you this is what you should have done.
Right. We already covered this. But it is worth noting, 8 clubs have had a goal or assist provided by a wingback. 18 of the, I think, oh, crap. I think it's 18 of the 60 goals. Is it 60 goals that have been scored already? Anyway, 18 of them, I think it was 30%, have come from wingbacks. So
that's a high number.
Yeah.
Is that including is that all defenders?
No, that's just wingbacks exclusively. Christ. Yeah.
When you add in the other ones, I know there's 5 or 6 other ones just off the top of my head. Vertonghen got a goal. Steve Cook got a goal.
Yep. Cook had an assist as well in that match,
I think. I mean, there's definitely – I want to know what percentage of overall goals are scored by defenders right now.
I will use it as a reply to the show post. I'll figure that out later tonight. But anyway, like we're saying, we're not shocked by the defense boom because we thought that was going to happen. It's a little crazier than even we thought, but it's the concept is not really that shocking to us. Humble brag. Other things worth bringing up for Chelsea, Alvaro Morata scores, and it was a good finish. The ball in was a little easier than it should have been, but we can talk about Arsenal and Unai Emery at a later date. But The fact that Morata scored and then immediately afterward talked about how his play style is much more suited towards Sarri's game, the fact that he isn't always playing with his back to goal. He was obviously a big investment last year. We believed at times, and then it just kind of progressively got worse. Either on the Chelsea side or the FPL side, are you buying into Morata saying that he's going to be better now?
Listen, the problem with Morata, it was always him finishing. He couldn't hit hit water if he fell in a boat sometimes last year. And the goal he scored last week, at least it was on target. That's the one thing I'm positive about as being a Chelsea fan. Two, the service is phenomenal. The service of the pass was, you know, it should have been defended better, but the service was phenomenal on the pass. So listen, if he's going to continue to get passes like that from the broad reaches of whoever's playing the wide side for Chelsea, whether it be Pedro, Willian, Hazard, you know, Alonso being pushed up top, Jorginho, Conte, you know, they have guys who can give Morata the ball. Whether he can adjust his own game to staying in that mentality where, okay, this is where I have to be at the right time instead of playing with his back to goal where he basically he shunders at, so he can't do it. Morata's more of a move forward. You know, it's like basically if anybody plays fantasy football, the American style football, there's a tight end and then there's a move tight end. Rob Gronkowski is a move tight end. You know, there's other guys who are the tight ends, but they don't move like Rob Gronkowski or Travis Kelce. Morata to me is that move forward. Benteke is not a move forward. Benteke's like a here I am, I'm a block of granite. Give me the ball. I'm gonna shank it to the corner flag. But yeah, that to me is the difference between Morata and another forward. I'm anxiously hoping with Chelsea's upcoming schedule being as it's cushy. It's not fantastic because I think people are overrating some of the fixtures that they're playing. Newcastle's shown very good life at the beginning of the year. Bournemouth can pretty much shown that they score on anybody. Cardiff is probably the giveaway game there. And West Ham, they like to give up goals, and I think Morata is good for that run. So if you want to wait and see, wait after the at Newcastle fixture and bring him in for the Bournemouth, Cardiff, West Ham stretch, I'm all for it because what we're getting out of the returns from the 7.0 strikers isn't what's going, and you're not getting anything from Bobby Ditto Firmino. So I mean, there's a natural downgrade right there with given Firmino's price to Morata. You know, if you want to take a gamble and go with Morata. Sure, I just don't know how. I think Chelsea is going to – the goals are going to be spread around. Chelsea to me look like they're going to have like five or six guys or four or five guys score like 10 goals this year. You know, maybe the top guy has like 13, you know. And Morata is definitely going to be in that grouping. But is he going to have 13 or is he going to have 10? Is he going to score a goal and then go away for 5 weeks? That's the problem with Morata's sustainability for FPL is he going to give you more than one goal every 3 weeks? That's where you need him to be viable at his price tag at 9.0.
Yeah, kind of Lukaku-esque in that way. Like even very last year when he started and he was scoring one per week, we were still talking about like, is he still really worth it? And I didn't mean to bring this up, but now that you kind of have, Mohamed Salah has a goal and two assists.
Only?
Well, for 13, yeah. Like, I guess this can expand into something we did talk about, which was right now, who would be your Liverpool three?
It would be, I'll say this as a Salah and a Robertson owner. If I could reconfigure my team right now and get a third Liverpool player in, it would be Salah, Mane, and Joe Gomez.
Yeah, not a bad show. What is Gomez on, five?
Five.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I have Alexander Arnold, and I think he's five.
Yeah, he's five. I think he's five. Well.
Yeah, but he apparently loves picking up a yellow card every gosh darn match. Yeah. So if he could stop that, that would be swell. But yeah, Joe Gomez does look really good. And yeah, by that, I mean far better than Lovren.
He's basically pacing Virgil van Dijk stat-wise. And basically, if everybody's lauding Virgil for playing such a great – I mean, he's arguably one of the best central defenders in the Premier League. Yeah. I'm not going to argue with that. But this is fantasy. It's a completely different game. If you look at their side-by-side stats, bonus points, passes, you know, clearances, Joe Gomez is basically pacing with Virgil van Dijk step for step. And, you know, the biggest indicator to me is – you know, who's getting all the bonus points on defense for Liverpool. And if you look at it, Joe Gomez is only four bonus point system points away from Virgil van Dijk. So in real life, yes, he's passing the eye test, Virgil van Dijk. But in fantasy game, you know, they're leaning that he's just on par with Joe Gomez. So for a dollar, I'd rather have some involvement in the Liverpool defense, but save the dollar and reinvest that somewhere else up in the front stretches of your team.
Yeah, and it's worth noting on Mane, not only does he look fantastic and he's racking up hella points, he actually gets bonus points, unlike Mohamed Salah. Mm-hmm. While we're kind of on this Liverpool topic, I would find it very hard to own both Salah and Mane. Yeah. But if this continues, I may, because I still have all this De Bruyne money just sitting in my bank. Mm-hmm. Because I made that move at the last minute, and it was going to be Bernardo and Aguero, and at the last second, I switched it to De Bruyne and Tosin, and that has not worked out super great. But yeah.
I mean, listen, your third Liverpool player could be Alisson, and I wouldn't have any problem arguing with a 5.5 goalkeeper.
Yeah, right, he also now looks very good.
Because if you're looking for an investment point and a differential point on a Liverpool team, how many people are going to own Alisson, Joe Gomez, and Mane instead of Salah, Robertson, you know, TAA?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. If there are so many players at Liverpool that are worth owning that there are differentials. An interesting one on that note is James Milner, considering, well, I mean, he started and got the penalty. Oh, wait. Oh, snap. I might be leaking goal things into this. Is he listed as a midfielder in the official game?
Yeah.
Ah, boo. In the goal game, he's listed as a defender, yeah, which makes him really interesting. And the official game, never mind. Shut up. I didn't talk about him.
Yeah, but I mean, listen.
It hurts Firmino again.
Yeah, I mean, but I just don't think there's enough, you know, I don't think there's enough balls in FPL managers to own James Milner at 5.5 to bypass the possibility of points from Sadio Mane, who basically killed me because that was my coin flip in the beginning of the year, Sadio Mane or Alexis Sanchez. Obviously, I'm stupid right now. But, you know, I just don't see him as part of that involvement of three. I think it's Mane, Salah, maybe if you're holding out hope for Firmino. You have the four defensemen, Robertson, TAA, Gomez, Virgil van Dijk, and Alisson. From that group, you have to pick three. And, you know, given that I just gave you seven guys and, you know, you can use three out of that configuration, that's a lot of possibilities of different mix-ups and change-ups on how you want to play it.
Yeah. The other player I wanted to mention is Callum Wilson, because he is rocking everything statistically right now. Well, he's fourth in total goals scored, but he's top five in shots on target. He has the most touches in the box already this season. Are you buying in yet?
I love when guys touch in the box. am I buying in? I can't say yes, because preseason wise I thought Josh King was going to be the guy. You know, it pains me that Callum Wilson is showing very good fleet of footness, I will guess we'll call it.
It's like how he was playing before his injury, like two and a half years ago.
Yeah, literally. I mean, yes, you could buy into Callum Wilson because his price tag, 6.1. You're not going to buy. I don't think you're going to bring him in for the next four games. That's the only problem. If you don't already own him, you're not going to bring him in for Everton, Chelsea, Leicester, Burnley, I don't think. I think you'd probably look somewhere else, because the one fixture that you're looking at that's staring in the face is the at Chelsea game. So you're not going to bring him in for two games at Everton at Chelsea, because Everton does have the capability to blank people. They just haven't shown it yet, but they do have defensive capabilities to keep people out of net. Leicester, not so much. Burnley, you know, Turf Moor has turned into Turf Score. But yeah, so TM, I just TM that. Callum Wilson 6.1 price tag is the only reason that people would be, I think, intrinsically gravitated to him. You know, but like I said before, the 7.0 strikers that were on the board preseason, what are they doing that's jumping out to everybody now? You know, anybody would have guessed that Troy Deeney would have more points than Arnautovic? No.
Probably not.
No. I mean, Troy Deeney and Callum Wilson both sit on 14 points. They both have scored more points than Zaha and Tosin combined. So, I mean, nobody would have guessed that by 1,000%. And Watford, to me, are the surprise team of the first two games. You know, everybody could say other teams, but I think what Watford are doing and showing, nobody expected that. Nobody expected Andre Gray to be this fluid and capable of doing what they did. Troy Deeney looks rejuvenated, but how long can he do it? He's looks like he's 45 in a 31-year-old body or whoever old he is. The lower stretches of the forward ranks are just crazy right now, because to me, you have to own Aguero, because I think you just have to. And then you have the Harry Kane dilemma when the month turns, and then you have Morata, and then you bring up the Salah and Mane involvement in midfield. What do you do there? That's a lot of big ticket items. It's tough to find out where the money's going to go, Kev.
It really is, and it's almost a blessing in the fantasy sphere. People on the Prem Show know that I don't celebrate injuries, but the fact that De Bruyne has been removed from this equation, because that's just another place for money to go. But this was always the concern, although fortunately Aubameyang hasn't really found his scoring boots yet, but that was the concern, especially mm-hmm. for me, somebody who decided to play the midfield play this season, was what do you do if Aguero and Kane start scoring and Aubameyang? And now Aguero and Kane have both scored, and so now it becomes question time. That's kind of what I was saying with Firmino, is I think he has one more match for me, and if he doesn't score, I may use the remaining De Bruyne money to move up from Firmino up to Aguero, and then just kind of go from there. I mean, those City fixtures, and we knew this from frickin' fixture release day, their opening stretch was just going to be so kind. And now that it looks like even if Jesus starts, that doesn't automatically mean that Aguero is displaced from the squad. I agree with you. I think Aguero just looks too good to pass up right now.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's helping, you know, everybody decide on where they want to go is Man City's inconsistency. I mean, if you want to be inconsistent, you want to call them inconsistent, it's a loose term here. But the inconsistent player, their midfield, there's nobody jumping up and being like a must own from the Man City midfield. And that includes Bernardo
Silva. Sterling, Sané, Bernardo, Mahrez.
Sterling's out overpriced. Sané is not getting consistent minutes. You know, David Silva had a cracker of a goal, but are you going to jump up and commit 8.4 to David Silva? You know, Bernardo Silva, and then you have Mahrez lying in the weeds at 9.0. He's only sitting on 2 points this year. So, I mean, thank God that the City midfield suck for fantasy, kind of. You know, 10-9-7 are their top three scorers in midfield, which is better than a lot of teams, Spurs. I just thank God they suck, because it makes the choices a little bit easier.
Yeah, agreed. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with a version of Start Sits.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, and we are back. I'll lead and up first. For the start, we just talked about him. Aguero is the obvious one. Hard to ignore the hat trick, too short of the Premier League record held by Alan Shearer for all-time Premier League hat tricks. He was on 11, Aguero, like I said, on 9. The less obvious one, and we did mention Wilson, but the less obvious one for me is Mitrovic, who looked very good against Tottenham and a strong back line there, which finally had Alderweireld back, had Davinson Sanchez in there. Mitrovic looked very, very good. And he's currently up there in shots on target, top five currently. And you know what? I will admit that I have a bit of a soft spot for him. But I genuinely think he could be a real threat this week. as he's playing against Burnley, who have to deal with these midweek fixtures already, which mm-hmm. is crazy. But they've been dealing with Europa League since July. Like, mm-hmm. this team is already tired, and you can see it. Their attack is not very established at getting forward. They aren't holding onto the ball well. And while Burnley's defense, we all know, has developed very well, and they threw in Joe Hart there, and, you know, it could have been worse. They held Southampton to zero goals, at least. I'm less confident in their ability to defend when their midfield can't hold on to the ball. So
They don't have the depth as a team.
They don't have the depth for Europa League now, let alone, you know, if they actually make it into the competition proper. Totally agree with you, Rob. Aguero is the obvious one. Mitro is the less obvious one. In midfield, I have to eat a little bit of crow because I was pretty anti-Mkhitaryan coming into the season. I recognized that his assist numbers per game were incredible because he didn't play that many games and he had like 9 assists. But the creation stats weren't there. And that's what I was really worried about coming into this year, even while recognizing that 7.0 was a really good value for him. But now, not only did he have a goal and an assist against Chelsea and arguably could have had more, but he leads the league in chances created at the moment. And listen, this is a 2-week sample size. So let's try to not get too carried away. But the fact that he's that high up after matches against City and Chelsea is actually very encouraging to me. So I'm all for Mkhitaryan, and he's facing West Ham, who thus far have the second worst defense. Again, I'm not really comfortable with all these stats until we've had at least a sample size of 5, but they don't look good, and the names aren't good, so I feel like you can both assume that Mkhitaryan is going to be better this year, and you can assume that West Ham aren't going to be better in defense this year. Obviously, we'll find out more as the season goes, but both of those things look likely. In defense, you have to own Mendy. You just have to. Not only are City looking very strong at the back, they conceded like the one shot on target that they allowed. And he looks good in defense, but he's also just so dangerous getting forward. And we knew this when he came over from Monaco. But then obviously the chance for us to see him in FPL was robbed of us last year because of injury. But now I just don't see how you cannot own him right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Mendy is probably, like I said, if there's a most owned defender, it's either Alonso or Mendy, and they're both in the same price bracket-ish. So, I mean, I'll start on defense. Yeah. I mentioned him before. It's Joe Gomez for me. People are having a problem with, you know, Robertson. Robertson is the best bonus point option you have there defensively. If you're a Salah Mane guy, you're probably owning one of the four defenders that I mentioned before, Robertson, TAA, Van Dijk, and my favorite, Gomez, because Gomez is basically pacing himself with VVD and giving you the same amount of return. So at a dollar cheaper, I'm going with Joe Gomez. Midfielders, you know, I'm kind of unprepared because I didn't really do this. I'll go with Ryan Fraser for Bournemouth. Looks decent. Getting enough run there. Bournemouth look very fluid because of a certain Callum Wilson. So I guess his ability to open up play is allowing Ryan Fraser to be that. Ryan Fraser is a DFS darling. Me and Kevin have talked his praises up high to upteen times because he's always involved in good play, good wide side play. But for fantasy official game, he's actually starting to show that the goals and the assists are carrying over from the ulterior stats that counted in DFS. So I think Ryan Fraser at 5.5, if you're looking for a punt, you know, if you're stuck on, you know, you went early season and you went with the Tom Carneys and, you know, the Nevises and the, you know, the Jotas, guys that, you know, aren't really giving you a ton of return based on what you're doing, because you may not be starting those guys anyway. So why not bring in a 5.5 guy that you could possibly have a starting option with? And Ryan Fraser is that guy. Up top, it's going to be Kelechi Iheanacho for me because there's no Jamie Vardy. It's an easy decision at Southampton. Southampton's going to ship a goal.
Yeah.
Iheanacho's going to be up there by himself. There's no Okazaki. Madison is playing phenomenal in the 10 role. I know everywhere I turn on FPL, everybody likes to copy themselves and be the next person to write about the fourth president, where we were talking about him about 6 weeks ago when we probably first did our first podcast. Listen, the guy's a playmaker. Iheanacho is going to benefit from that. Southampton's not going to benefit from that. Iheanacho gets – I think I'll be bold again today. I think Iheanacho gets 2 this week. I see he gets braces this week. He goes to the orthodontist in Southampton and gets braces.
I'll be honest, I would not be surprised if Southampton mix up their back line this week. And that could obviously lead to communication gaps that Ihe Iheanacho could pounce on with his just like quick burst pace.
Yeah. Forward sit. If anybody watched the Palace game against Liverpool, don't own Christian Benteke. It's not even an option. Don't even look at him. This is the part where I'm going to repeat myself again. Anybody in that 7.0 striker range that you believed in for the first couple games of the season, now is the gut check time that you want to see what you have in your players. If you can manipulate a Tosin or an Arnautovic into somebody else and maybe strike gold for a one game thing before you wild card after the international break or whatever, this is the time. If you want to make a move, for somebody who has a better matchup than you think, Steve Mounier has a great matchup this week against Everton. I think he may score. Firmino is a questionable thing, but he's 9.5. So I'm just reading down a list of scorers. That's why if it sounds stupid, it's because I am stupid. But yeah.
Don't be too hard on yourself now, right? Yeah.
This is a gut check time for those low priced forwards. If you own the wrong ones, you're obviously trailing in points and you're probably panicking because you don't own the right ones. You went with Tosin and you should have went with Callum Wilson. You went with Zaha and you should have went with Deeney. This is the third week of the season. If these guys don't prove it this week, I think the 3 week games that you've seen are basically a telltale sign that you should ship yourself to somebody else. Through the midfield, anybody from West Ham? How about that? Robert Snodgrass. Let's go Robert Snodgrass. West Ham, they're not getting much through the midfield at all.
Yeah.
Midfielder scoring-wise, their leading scorer is Arthur Masuaku. That is not a good sign for West Ham, who shelled out almost $200 million this year to enforce their team. Yarmolenko just not showing anything. Antonio not showing anything. Felipe Anderson not showing anything. This is basically what we and Kevin were worried about in the preseason, how well these guys would adjust and adapt and be the players that they were 3 years ago, but maybe in a tougher league and show their – listen, I'm not saying don't ignore them the whole year. Just it's this dry stretch of time, especially going against Arsenal, who's going to come into this game a little pissed off because they lost against Chelsea in a derby game, and Arsenal is home. So, I mean, just look at the point returns for midfielders in West Ham, and there's nothing there that you can, light a candle to or take the prom. Because
you were an Arnie guy. Do you have him? And if not, should people be shipping him?
I don't. And if you do, like I said, this is a time that you should probably gamble on somebody else in that same exact price range for 1 or 2 weeks, and then after when you wildcard, completely just change the whole system. Because I think that what we're seeing through West Ham is zero involvement through the midfield. Their defense is getting peppered. Kevin, here's a funny stat: through two games, West Ham have 0 points on defense.
Oof.
There's 0 points from all the defenders on West Ham. That is just showing where the play and the pace of play. I don't care what I'm seeing on tape, because if I'm looking at this from a fantasy perspective, Arthur Masuaku is your total point scorer for midfield with four. That means he's gotten 2 points in two games for both games. Yeah. That is disgusting for a team that had high expectations like West Ham. The involvement through the midfield is there. And if you're owning Arnautovic, yes, he has one goal, and he scored it last week against Bournemouth, but I'm not trusting it. I'd probably rather gamble on a 1 week one off against with Andre Gray or a Kelechi Iheanacho having
and it's worth noting that their schedule does not get better.
No,
Arsenal, Wolves, Everton, Chelsea, United, Brighton away, Tottenham, Leicester, Burnley. That's through November 10th. That is not a fun time.
Mm-mm. No, and this is what we talked about, this how well the players were going to adjust and how fast they were going to be able to adapt, and they're just not. If West Ham is relying on Jack Wilshere to be the facilitator through the defensive midfield, they might as well pack up and stop playing now. They're finishing 16th or lower.
Yeah.
On defense, sit anybody with United or Spurs. I think they both get on the board and they're going to negate everybody. I don't think anybody's really owning a United defender right now. But there are some Spurs guys that are still holding out for clean sheets. You know, Trippier may get involved with a lot of the set piece stuff, but you know, I hate chasing points because most of your defensive love comes from clean sheets, and I think both teams gets on the board here.
Yeah, I mean, United versus Tottenham, both teams probably going to get on the board. And converse to that, though, I have Lukaku, who I'm not starting, even though it's worth noting he does fit the physical profile of the kind of forwards that Tottenham tend to struggle with. And this goes back to my comment from the beginning of the show, is one goal from Lukaku does not warrant owning him. And I don't think he'll score more than that. It's worth noting. Well, I'll just ask you, where do you think United rank 1 to 20 in chances created?
Not very high.
Correct.
They're probably like 17th.
18th. Yeah.
There you go.
It's not good. You're very good at those guessing games when we do that. But they're second to third to last. How does that work? Do you count the one? They're 18th out of 20. And it's not really looking much better. This play style is trudging. A lot of the passing looks like they don't know who each other are. Obviously, Martial being thrown in instead of Alexis was surprising, but Martial is not as bad of a player as he looked, in my opinion, at the weekend as well. It was just really embarrassing. I fully admit that if anybody's going to score against Tottenham for United, it might be Lukaku, but I don't think that's worth owning him. And considering how few chances created there are, I don't know how you could think that they would. And as you said, the fact that Tottenham have scored one in each of their last two matches, both come from lapses. Neither of them looked very repeatable in those matches. I'm thinking Lukaku is not looking super swell here.
You should not be. Friends don't let friends own Romelu Lukaku.
They sure don't. In midfield, this one's a toughie for me, because if I was anyone but myself, I would say it's Eriksen. So we'll go with that here. As I mentioned before, not taking all of the corner kicks. He's taking half of them, not taking all of the free kicks, with Trippier taking his and scoring it. And at 9.5, I mean, this is what we're talking about. I mean, at value, 4 points through two matches at 9.5 with United up next. And then I think there's somebody that's not hard, and then Liverpool, if memory serves. Yeah, Watford away, and then Liverpool, and then Brighton away, which I think we've seen you have to chalk up as a difficult match. Not saying that, you know, nobody will win or score. United did get two, after all, though one of them was a super late penalty. But that is not a fun stretch. As for myself, I said I'm holding on to him through this week, and if he doesn't do anything, then I'll move on. But for other people, it may be wise to just move on now. In defense, I'm getting rid of, well, not actually, because I already used my move to upgrade to Mendy. Which, by the way, I'll just confess now, I had Alexander-Arnold and Laporte to save money from Mendy and Robertson. And you get what you pay for is what that's looking like. But the two defenders that I was considering at the end, and I picked Cedric over, but Cedric and Daniels are the two wingbacks not getting to play part in this wingbacks are amazing period. Southampton do not look very good defensively. Cedric himself had a pretty shocking match last week. And both of them are still fairly highly owned, and I think it's time to move off of both of them. Also, bonus round, sell De Gea. He's not worth the extra. I'm not even sure he'd be better than Ederson if he was 5.5 right now.
That's true.
Right? I mean, listen, we said all of last year that Manchester United's individual defenders weren't very good. And then they signed no new defenders. Well, they signed Dalot, but he's not supposed to matter yet. So I don't know why everybody's like shocked that Baye and Lindelof, players that have played together like twice, are struggling next to each other. They still have wingers playing at both wingback positions. Just because you converted them somewhere between 2 and 4 years ago, depending on which one you're talking about, doesn't make them good. Like, Luke Shaw has done fairly well, considering how horrible everyone else has been and how horrible he himself had been in stretches when he came back and he was hurt. But I'm not encouraged by this Manchester United defense. And David De Gea has not looked his normal Superman self, which is the only reason he was worth owning to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're going to pay for a pricey goalie right now, it's Alisson, and that's it. To me.
Yeah.
That's just me.
No, no Kepa for you? Kepa? Arrizabalaga?
Aretha? No. Aretha Franklin Berlaga? No.
Aw, RIP in peace, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That was sad.
It is, you know, but listen, she lived a good life.
Yep. Well, the beginning wasn't so great. She turned it around. She had a super great life in the end. All right. Well,
somewhere in the middle, she did good.
Yeah, for sure. Any other thoughts, concerns, questions, qualms, nonsense?
No, I'm good.
All right. I don't want to share my personal team right now. It's garbage. I'm not going to make you do it either because we're already at 45 minutes. But
I'm
everybody
wild carding.
You
I'm
are?
I'm wild carding. So that's all that matters.
Right now?
I'm wild carding this week because I basically didn't pay attention to my team last week because, like I said, I was sick and just was in a malaise of stupid. So I just didn't do anything. So I'm going through and wild carding my team right now.
Oh, dang. You aren't giving it the one more week?
Nope.
Wow. All right. Well, we talked about coming into the show, talking about whether or not people should stick with their preseason calls or if they should shift. And it sounds like you're shifting. So people at home, be aware of that. All right. That'll do it for us today then. I'm Kevin DeVries. You can find me on Twitter at Kavaroff. You can find my writings over at Goal. Also listen to our Premier League and Championship shows or You're a Schmuck. Also, if you need to read live text commentaries, go over to Omnisport or Omnisport News. And I'm going to stop talking now. Rob?
You can find me on Twitter at FPL_MNOP. And that's it, because I don't write anywhere anymore because I'm officially a retired fantasy writer.
Yeah, man. Just waiting from that jacket from Canton to arrive any day now. Thanks so much for listening, people at home. Sorry again about the disrupted listening schedule. You're probably used to it by now, but you probably weren't expecting it in week one. Unfortunately, like we said, we were both dealing with stuff we weren't able to overcome. But we should be back now. And if we're not, sorry in advance, but we should be good.
Sorry again in advance.
Yeah, but we should be good. Rob, pleasure speaking with you as always. Folks at home, best of luck to your fantasy teams, and we'll catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.